Good day, Facebook and Blog Talk Radio listeners. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, with an extended weekly podcast for you. I'm going to try and podcast to the postal community on a weekly basis. I guess we could call the KHP Last Week in the Postal Service with Kenny Hodge. Now, if you look inside most postal facilities, on one hand, one would think that the reduced floor space signals greater volume coming into the post office, which would mean bottom line should be greater. But the reason the surge in volume seems to be a major roadblock for the Postal Service employees is because of the manner in which postal management handles the increased volume. And I want to say, I'm going to talk about this in detail, and I want to state right now, this is my perception based on 39 years of postal service. And let me start by saying there's always going to be a conflict in the Postal Service until headquarters decides to make a definitive statement on, are we a production organization or a service organization? Because the two don't always match. In fact, sometimes or most times they run parallel. Postal management right now is in the mindset that we are a production organization. Postal employees are of the mindset that we are a service organization. And whenever you have two opposing sides or opposing views on the same subject, there's going to be a culminating event. And that culminating event has manifested itself in today's post offices with wall-to-wall packages, creating unsafe work buildings in order to facilitate additional mail volume. And again, I'm always going to take the position, if the organization is not running efficient, then there's a problem with the management in that organization. And when management falls short, the employees are supposed to have a safety net called a union. These are the folks that are supposed to ensure that your rights are not violated. Your national agreed upon agreement is always, management is always in compliance. And I got to tell you, I'm going to spend a few minutes on that and let you know that's pretty much non-existent from my perspective on the local level. So hang on for the ride for about the next 30 minutes while I try to, in my own way, navigate you as listeners through state of the post office today. And I have to start off by saying everyone is aware of the COVID-19 pandemic. Everyone is aware that you're going to be affected, in all industries are going to be affected by this pandemic, with fewer employees reporting for work. Now, let me tell you what the smart industry does. Based on that factual data, they redesign a processing operation that's going to complement 50% less employees. That's what a smart industry does. But then you have the other guys who understands I'm going to have 50% less employees, but I'm going to maintain 100% operations of full commitment. And then I'm going to get upset every day that it don't happen, and I'm going to let my lower level supervision or management feel that I'm not pleased because they cannot maintain 100% efficiency with 50% employees. See, that's the other guys. Who do you work for? Because an organization don't make changes to their processing profile. I got to tell you something. As a employee or as one who looks at business models, I find it hard to have major sympathy when you now start to claim shortage of employees is what's going to force you to voluntarily or arbitrarily cross crafts to the tune of 100 hours a day and better. See, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of empathy for you on that. And let me be emphatic when I say, because an organization failed to adjust to the market trend, here's me trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about, and now they find themselves in a crisis. Again, I always take the position, and I really hope unions hear me and if it makes sense, adopt this position. If the organization created the shortage, you're not going to get major empathy or sympathy from me allowing you to cross crafts without exact monetary compensation to the craft of mail handlers. And let me say, big disrespect to Local 304. Leadership is just non-existent. Listen to why I make that statement. Other than I just don't personally like the local president. But let's get past that for a minute. I might have to visit it once or twice, but no, let's get past that for a minute. And what I mean is, there are major violations going on in these offices, but I don't see that local presence. I don't, because you know, you got to remember now, a lot of your branch presidents, those folks are pretty new. This is some uncharted water that you would hope you had a strong local to come down and help steer the ship, but you don't have that here. You know, I mean, how many people, and let me just say, I'll put the question out there. How many people in the last couple of months see your local president walking around the building, looking at your work conditions, estimating or surmising some of what it is that you're talking about? Because let me tell you something, and this, you can believe this if you want to. After you've been out of the post office for as long as your local president has been out of the post office, his touch with reality is not what you feel day to day. And I don't care how that sound, that's a fact. And it's not just limited to the local president of 304. Most of your local presidents, if you're not in the work environment or you've been removed 6 or 7 years, you can take it as you want to take it, but your touch with reality is not the same touch that your members are feeling. And there's a disconnect, and I don't know how you're going to bridge that other than get new leadership. Let me take a sidebar here and and let my audience know, January to May are my expected retirement dates. So don't shy away from my podcast because you think I'm campaigning right now. I thought that was funny. I hope you got a chuckle out of that. But let's get back to what's really going on. See, at the local level, and I'm talking my perspective from Local 304, the mindset seems to be, well, if they don't bring it to me, then it's not an issue. Even though I know there's a violation, well, that's going to require me to do some work. But if they don't bring it to me, then everything's good. And I beg to differ. I think members would like to see some aggressiveness from their elected officials as we address some of these issues. And again, see, that was the kind of leadership I wanted to bring to Local 304. See, had I been in office right now, again, my members would get tired of seeing me. But because that's how often they would see me. Because there's something about a crisis when leaders show up. Again, not that the local president is going to bring a lot of motivation to anywhere, but just the fact that you're there, you kind of
Send a message to your members who pay your salary that you're in the fight with them. You being absent, well, you know what message that sends. I would hold seminars with a lot of these brands. Presidents are newly elected. I mean, there's tricks to the trade that they're not going to know coming into their first term. I don't see, well, I don't know if the local has that kind of expertise to come down and help grow that new crop of union officials. So what happens is you trial by fire. Let me try this, let me try that. Again, I'm just disappointed with the leadership in Local 304. I think that in this type of situation, that they should be a lot more visible to their members, showing their members that they have a dog in the fight, even though they really don't, but let's pretend they do. Here's the crescendo. This is what everything you just heard for the last 10 minutes involves or surrounds. Postal management, if you are going to take any and everybody other than mail handlers and assign them to do mail handler work, I don't give a damn about now you want to cry you're short personnel. Again, we have to be extremely mindful. Now I'm talking to management and union. When management cries Article 3, unions, we got to be tenacious. And I'm not saying that maybe in another local other than 304 that tenacity isn't there. I'm not saying that. I'm reminding those that Article 3 gives management the right to do certain things, but it does not eliminate them paying a penalty for doing it. Do you understand what I mean? Article 3 says, yes, okay, we will allow you to acknowledge that you're violating mail handler crap by crossing crap, but the mail handlers have a right to file and get that those work hours compensated to the mail handlers. That's just my understanding of Article 3. And just to show again that I am a team player, I just play a little different on the team. But here's a question. Here's a situation that I put out to the craft. If you have management violating mail handler, crossing crafts, management, clerks, maintenance, just everybody doing mail handler work, how do you track that? And it happens on all three tours. Let's come up with a way of tracking that, because let me tell you, that's extremely difficult to track. Oh, it can be done, but it's very difficult to do. So again, if you're in a small plant, it's a little easier, but I guess again, the larger the building gets, the wider the violation becomes. And let's come up with a bona fide way of recommending that we track those work hours. Now, it's going to take a lot of thought process on some mail handlers' part, but let me tell you, we can continue to say unions aren't active enough in the fight. And let me tell you something, I personally don't believe they are from the local level and below, but then I hear it from a lot of people. So again, how do you change that perception? Get in the fight, become visible, elected officials. Again, only do what your members elected you to do, and that is protect their interests. And we as a group of postal employees, whether you be clerks, mail handlers, or letter carriers, let me tell you something. When did you try to go the normal channel to get something changed and that don't work? You have to invent another mode to deliver your message. And we have the knowledge and ability that if you go through proper channels and it don't work, we can pool our resources again, each one teach one. And I'm telling you, through experience, there are many avenues that are untapped when it comes to trying to rectify or address a lot of issues that just aren't being addressed.
And now with respect to the widespread everybody and anybody performing mail handler work, I think if I was your local president, I'd start with conversations to the plant managers. Yes, I understand that the branch president can't have that, but I'm talking if I was your local president, and the branch president would be there also, we'd have a conversation with the plant manager. So we got an understanding of, or is there some postal guidance that you have that you might want to share with me now that tells you it's okay to violate our craft without any expectation of monetary restitution? See, that would be the first conversation. And with that answer being no, then I would ask him, how can we, because it's apparent you're going to do it. And sidebar, you got to remember, when you talk about crossing crafts, you cross crafts because there is a shortage of personnel. Again, that shortage, postal management has to accept responsibility for that shortage. Yes, it's hard to hire, but it's not impossible if that is what you really want to do.
So my question to the mail handlers who hear the podcast, what are some of the ways you would suggest that they track these work hours so mail handlers can be compensated? I know it sounds simple, and spare me or miss me with the thought that just document. Let me tell you something, and again, I'm trying to keep it real, as I always do. That becomes a bothersome. Now, I'm just telling you what I feel and what most mail handlers are probably feeling but not saying. So we have to understand that, as simple as that may seem, that is a cumbersome issue. And that is to keep documentation on who's in your area, your work hours. And I know we need it. But what we have to understand, or see, this is that type of leadership that I wanted to bring to the local. Let's find another way to try to get that information. One that maybe you just initial. One that I really don't know because I haven't formulated it yet. But it's apparent that you riding around in your area documenting what supervisor worked, what mail or what clerk dispatched mail, that's not going to happen on a regular basis. So we have to find another way to get that information to your union branch offices so they can process the grievance. And one thing I would suggest, hey, union officials, why don't you let your people see you gathering information, and I'm sure it may have a chain reaction, and they will think, if my union is involved in it, maybe we'll go with it also. Just a little hint, hint, should you really want to create an atmosphere for that will encourage members to assist you with grievance filing. Now, I got to change gears here just a little bit. And just give a mad Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast shout out to Columbus, Ohio Delivery and Collection. I guess that's the section that falls under District Manager Lovejoy. But I want to say, and again, as a former manager, or in this case, as a mail handler who finally could establish a safe area to work in, I want to say, hey, shout out to the postmaster in Dublin, the postmaster of Newark, the postmaster, my man at a Buckeye Lake. Listen, the people out of the, I think it was the postmaster at a Hebron, I'm from Jersey, if I said it wrong, my bad. Let me tell you how Delivery and Collection came into the plant And here's the sad part. They had a plan. And in a matter of 2 days, I mean, expedited mail from the plant that probably would have sat there for another week, expedited that mail out to their stations so that they could exemplify customer perfect. They went through, and I'm sorry if this sounds like I'm on a management bandwagon right now, but I'm sorry. That was just outstanding customer service. I mean, those postmasters, and it doesn't matter what the motive was. The end result was those packages were brought back to life because they were buried in Citygate, put on trucks, and sent out to the stations. Now, no disrespect to the clerks and the carriers in the stations who received that heavy influx of mail. We'll address that another time. But from the perspective of what I do in Citygate as a level 5 operator, that was just awesome. And again, being an old customer service cat myself, what I noticed is day one they came in, there was a plan made. See, I think that vital piece is missing from not the plant I work in, but some other plants. I think that piece is missing from their operating. So I can't even say operating plan, because plan is a word that they don't understand, I think. But not where I work. All right, we're going to keep it positive. But again, delivery and collection came through. Freed up mad floor space. But I hate to say this. I'd be willing to bet when I report for work tomorrow, you won't be able to tell that any progress was made because lack of a plan. A plan got the area clear. Lack of a plan will keep it clustered. But hey, this is the post office, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to let delivery and collection come in with their plan to compensate for the lack of planning that the plant may be doing. And the bottom line is, we're still going to get mail out to the customers. Different or very interesting concept. But hey, delivery and collection, if you could keep coming through like that, the mail handlers who may not know who you are or what it is that you're actually doing, they appreciate that that mail is leaving, and they can try to get a safe, uncluttered aisle work area back. So big, big, big shout out to delivery and collection. If I was real good friends with the Postmaster General, I'd probably ask him, can Miss Lovejoy still be overseeing the plant as well as delivery and collection? Just a little remnant of what it used to be. And as I continue to rotate this conversation on a 360-degree axis, I want to say to the craft employees, sometimes we get so involved or caught up in what it is that we're doing, we don't take the opportunity to look around and see what's actually happening. Now, right now, the post office in Columbus, I'm pretty sure they are experiencing some high throughputs, which is what their game is. But you got to understand something, and I'm not going to try to get too analytical, but I need you to understand. Right now, they are consistently crossing crafts, which inevitably put more people to work. What they're saying is, rather than hire the proper complement, they're going to cross craft. Because you got to understand, when they cross craft, that's just bringing additional people into the work area. Had they been at complement, the need to do that is not so relevant. So you add additional work hours to that production number. And if you are sincere about providing a true product, If you look at your cost per work hour for that higher productivity, I go on a limb and say it's a losing proposition for you, but you're only focused on high throughput. When you look at the postmasters, the supervisors, the maintenance personnel, the extra trucks, the additional drivers, when you factor all that into now your cost per work hour, there's no way that high productivity number that you reach is going to justify spending that much money. But service is not what it is about to a lot of postal managers. Productivity is. And what I mean by that is I am of the opinion that if a post office, not the post office I work at, but if a post office could process 50,000 pieces more than projected, but dispatch none of the mail, I think in today's postal environment, they would choose to process 50,000 more pieces to get accolades from their divisions, as opposed to let me produce, less pieces, and dispatch mail to the customer. And I think that is the vacuum that postal management resides in right now. And that's not going to change unless headquarters make that change. Just like Michael Jackson said, make that change. Hey, listen, this is Ken Hodge, and this is, again, one of my very opinionated podcasts. I hope that because I view things maybe not the status quo, that you can appreciate a different perspective on what we seem to address every day. And if we address an issue every day, and every day we allow the same set of circumstances to be the resolve, the question becomes, are you happy or not? I think not. So let's do a little different thing, because we know what that will produce, and what that will produce is not what we want. So I am the drum major for let's try some different things. Hey, get involved in your unions. Again, because that's where the main strength is really going to come from. We can get creative on our own. I do it all the time. But I'm not advocating move away from your union. What I'm advocating is get inside your unions, and you have to make them strong. You have to get quality people. You got to get somebody in there who want to fight for you. And again, I miss my opportunity, but I hope that there's somebody that's going to step up and lead this local, because this local definitely needs to be led, and the current leadership you have is incapable of doing it. And again, I say incapable rather hard, but they've been out of the game so long that you need new eyes. You need new vision, new invigoration. And you're not going to get that in Local 304. Hey, I didn't mean for this to be an anti-Local 304 podcast. But again, I say Local 304, but my only issue with that whole local is your local president. So even though I say Local 304, I am always talking about your local president when it comes to negative remarks that I might say. And I'm trying to get better, but it ain't working right now. Hey, listen, enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. This is Ken Hodge on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, just trying to do what it is I think I am supposed to do, and that is keep you informed.